Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. We thank him. We have a full house today. We have a lot of housekeeping to do. And so we just want to start off with first reminding everybody, please put your phones on mute. We hear all of your conversations and all of your household business. So put your phone on mute. Okay? And then we're going to open up with prayer by Deacon Lazarus. Deacon Lazarus.
Good evening, everybody, and praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we are gathered here this evening to get insight and understanding for the candidates for 2020. We pray for this time in this COVID-19 that we will all survive and is able to get insight, understanding, and the teaching that we need to go forward. We pray for that, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Deacon. That's one of our graduates from 2019. We encourage you, even when your process is over, that you reach back and help someone else. It is required that you be available for a year to be an accountability partner of one of the members of the next class. So we want you to keep those things in mind. Sometimes we do forget. We have some other things we want to bring to your attention, but we will have Elder Sherita bring you the announcements for today. Elder?
Hello, good evening, everyone, and thank you for tuning in tonight for the weekly one-hour presentation training meeting that are held every Thursday from now through August 20th on Blog Talk Radio. The Blog Talk Radio number that you will call to connect is 619-924-0684. And just remember to mute your phone. If you are not able to call in this number at any time, if you're driving, if you're just unavailable to call in, you can always log in to www.blogtalkradio.com/LFC-WordLifeCenter, and you can join the discussion that way. You can also log onto this website at any time. And you can listen to any ordination meetings that you miss. And then, candidates, just a reminder to keep in mind that you're building your portfolio during this time. So as we prepare for the meeting, just remember to have your journals, your notebooks on hand to take notes and then write down any assignments and write down anything that the Lord is revealing to you throughout this process. And then just be sure to keep a copy of all the requirements that you are submitting, because it is going to be something that's required during your ordination track. And then, again, we've covered a lot so far, and so we want to be sure that we are meeting your needs. I encourage you to write down any questions that you have and share them with us during the meeting. And then also just continue to study your notes from the teaching that was brought by Ambassadorial Professor Henderson on Trailblazers. This will be quizzed periodically. And then we are excited to have Apostle Kate bring us each week an encouraging word. And then we pray that you are enjoying embracing the candidate and accountability partner presentation. This week's presenters are candidate Sister Francina Love and her accountability partner, Evangelist Cheryl Salisbury. They will be presenting on the characteristic of our warfare, coming from 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. And then just a reminder that phase 3 of this process is now underway. It consists of the relational intimacy questionnaire and the emotional status form. Candidates, if you have any questions along the way, please be sure to reach out to Overseer. And then lastly, for candidates and accountability partners, just a reminder to begin filling out your monthly interpersonal assessment form. It is due at the end of each month. This is the form that you are evaluating each other's spiritual development, productivity, and personal development. And that can be submitted to Overseer at PC_Thornton@yahoo.com. And that's all that I have.
Amen. Thank you so much, Elder. We appreciate her diligence to keep us informed and on schedule. And so one of the things she mentioned was your phase three, and I trust that everyone has looked at it. You have assessed the questions. Are there any questions related to the form that you're going to have to complete in your phase three? That's your emotional status and your relational status. Your emotional status is so there can be an assessment of where you are emotionally. In these times of upheaval, different things can creep up and creep out that we were not aware of. We want to stay on top of our training and preparation. As the song said, prepare the way of the Lord. We have to prepare the way for preparing ourselves. And the the emotional status form is a form that's designed to uncover and to reveal some things about yourself. So I encourage you to be completely honest and forthright in your answers. Take your time, pray, meditate, and write the things that Holy Spirit brings to your remembrance. And anything that comes up that is a concern to you, you can reach out to us. That's what we're here for. I will assess the forms. I will read through them. And this is how we prepare the training, your special tracks during the ordination and the trainings we have on our Thursday night. There may be subjects or topics that we need to look at and evaluate on behalf of leaders coming into a new place where you've never really served before like this, as you are being elevated by God. And so we do ask that you take time with these forms. Then the relational form that you're going to fill out is regards to how you respond to the world around you, whether it's your nucleus of your family, friends, your church, your community, the world. And so it gives us an insight as to those things that you're passionate about and those things that even that you work through or God has worked in you. And so that is what is revealed on these forms. They are very pivotal to your success as a candidate, but more as a leader, as a ordained leader. You always have to make an assessment, evaluate your heart, evaluate your thoughts and your mind, always bringing them before the Lord so that he can bring whatever assistance that you need, or help or cleansing or rebuke or divine intervention that is necessary. And so before you, if you have looked at your relational form, there is, let me make sure that it's the right thing, your emotional form. And it does give you an understanding of your emotions, what you feel about yourself and those around you, as well as your ministry and God. And you will find that on the second page of that, you will find an evaluation question that asks you to review and to record your fruit of the Spirit. How would you rate your fruit of the Spirit? And it lists all of the fruit. It says, if the Lord wants to do a fruit inspection, what fruit of the Spirit would be evident in your emotional state? And what condition would they be in? And so this is something that as you review this, you're going to be given another tool, and I'm going to give that to you this evening, that is going to assess. It's called a fruit inspection. And as you read this fruit inspection, though, I want you to write first your answer to question 11 on your emotional status form statement. And then you're going to compare it to the fruit inspection that you're going to do. And we may do it online next week. So you get to this question 11 on your emotional status statement and you assess the development of these nine fruits in your life and where you believe they are. And then we're going to take the fruit inspection. You're going to send me your total for each one of these fruits, and then we're going to go from there. And so I encourage you to be prepared next week to take an inspection assessment online. I want to stress the importance of this, but I do want you to fill out your sheet first, because so often, you know, the Bible says sometimes we think more highly of ourselves than we are. Than we should. And oftentimes we may think a thing is in a certain place, but in a closer examination, we may see that we fall short in some area or another. So that is the pivotal thing that I wanted to bring to you as it relates to your statements that you must prepare. The month is fast going. This is the 14th. We're in the middle of the month. It will be over, and then you'll really be into a very intense time with answering your questions. And so I do want to get this done. I encourage you to get it done now. Get it done early. You don't have to wait to the deadline. A lot of you may be sheltering in, and you have some time that, you know, is available that wouldn't normally be. And if you do, I do encourage you to do this at that time, taking your time to answer the question and to truly give it some thought. Not, you know, most of these questions do not take a one-word answer, okay? It does. Doesn't take a one-word answer, but it definitely takes, you have to give it some thought. And if you need more space, please just add it to, put it on the paper, just number your answer if you're putting it on a different or an additional sheet of paper, okay? Do we have any questions? Has anybody taken a look at them, at the form? Now, the one for your relational.
Yes, I do. I'm overseer. That's, everyone is going to take this test, correct? Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Is that okay? Yes, everyone will take it. Okay. Now, on your relational, you're going to come to a question that's going to ask you about your family tree. And so I wanted the apostle to be able to give you a little insight as to how to address this question. You know, a lot of people say, well, what does that mean, and what are you looking for, and, you know, what does it mean? And so we're going to allow the apostle at this point, Apostle Dr. Shawnette, the opportunity to share some insight as to how you would I'll say, attack this problem, this question. Apostle?
Thank you, Overseer. Okay, so for this 2020 class, as we look at our relationship intimacy questionnaire, when you get to the portion of it that talks about your relationship tree, primarily what you're doing at that point is you are doing a complete assessment of every relationship you have. So it talks about the purpose of each relationship, whether what's the motive behind it, what is the purpose of the relationship, what's the outcome of it. Are these relationships seasonal? Are you in a relationship now that the season for it has shifted? However, you still maintain that relationship based on expectations and standards that may be outdated. And so maybe the relationship needs to upgrade, or maybe it's a relationship, again, that the season has ended, and we need to bring some closure to that. The place of our love relationships, making sure that first things are first. And so when we assess our love relationships, are everything in their proper order, or are they competing loves? You know, are our children competing with the love that we have for our spouses? Is our job competing for the love that we have for God? So you want to begin to look at all of your love relationships and make sure that they are properly aligned. And that will lead you into assessing whether there's some boundary issues, some stagnation issues, if some things are overflowing into a category that is not purposeful for that relationship. It may have been purposeful, but now it is no longer purposeful. The next two items, kind of relational idolatry and relational suicide, once you begin to assess the boundary issues and the stagnation issues, as you look at idolatry and suicide, what you will do is look at, are the relationships that we currently have in our life, are they promoting life? That's really the question. Are they promoting life? are they in a place where it causes you to commit emotional, spiritual suicide? Have you forfeited or given up on some things? Because it doesn't seem like the relationships that you have will afford that. And then again, looking at your relationship, the roles of each one within them, have you maintained your identity? Have you lost your identity? Has your identity shifted and switched because it was necessary to have a healthy relationship? So you want to begin to look at that. Then the following category talks about relationship victimization. And just beginning to look at, again, being authentic and true. So we do this thing about complacency and convenience versus authenticity and truth. Are we responsible for the other people in our relationship? How do the varying people, do we have the same type and quality of relationship with everyone? Do we have preferences within our relationships that are not healthy and or holy? And so when these things are in place, we experience something called relational victimization, because either we're victimizing ourselves or we're victimizing others because they're not in their proper place within our life. And then finally, by the time you have completed that, you should be able to, let me rephrase that, Holy Spirit should begin to go, you know what, you've had these 17 relationships that are current and active in your life. However, they need to be in a different category. They do not accurately reflect your relationship with me. So we have relationships with individuals that are in conflict with the relationship that we have with God. And so we need to make sure that our relationships are authentically and purposefully God. Thank you for this time.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Apostle. And as she shared, you will be able to diagram that. That is the best way, I think, when you make a picture and you can diagram the importance of relationships to, say, the main core. We were talking about a relational tree. So how close are these relations to the trunk of the tree being yourself? And so we just want to give you a little insight as to how to attack this particular section of the statement that you have to make. And so we have reviewed that. And are there any questions? Are there any questions? One of the things we want to share with you this evening also is that I'm sure the concerns that everyone has as it relates to your ordination in August. Your ordination is in August the 13th, 14th, and 15th. And it is going to be virtual. It is going to be a virtual conference. That's this social media platforms of some kind, which will definitely be explained to you. You will be trained in how to do it. And that three-day track for you will be just for you. The other members of the organization will have their virtual conference, and you will have one that's specifically geared to you. And then on the final day, which will be that Saturday, we are going to actually physically come together at Labors for Christ Word Life Center. We are going to obey the rules of social distancing and the safety precautions of the CDC and that sort of thing. And we have space more than enough for you to be in the same place and not be socially involved, connected, or too close to each other. And so that's what that Saturday is going to look like. That's your final day. And on that day is when you will get your examination. Your examination will take place on that Saturday. Your examination looks like it used to be a whole board of people, We'll probably have two. We're trying to limit the number of people that are in the building as well as the number of people that would you would come in contact with. Anybody that is on the staff that is going to work with you will have been tested and found to be negative before we come together. In order to come into the building, you're going to have your gloves and your mask. And those who don't have it, we'll provide it. But everything that is being required to us, you know, by law and suggested to us by law, we want to stay in compliance with that. Your garment vesting is going to take place, like I said, in person in the sanctuary. You will be distanced, and those that will vest you will have been trained in all of the correct procedures. A lot of it you may have to do for yourself, but again, you will be prepared to do those things. And at that point, you are able to have two guests. Now, those guests will have to have a ticket. They will only be allowed in the building like 5 minutes before the actual ceremony is going to take place. They will be ushered in and seated by at the correct distancing, and they'll be ushered in, you know, one at a time if they come together, two people at a time. And they are to always remain seated, and when it is over, they will be dismissed two at a time. One of the things that we are considering is, and this is the whole AEN Presbytery is working on this on your behalf, and what we would like to do as well as to be able to project what is going on inside the ceremony on the outside, and they can watch it from their cars. They must stay in their cars. The cars will be socially distant, and all of the regulations will be stringently insisted upon. And after you've been garbed, you will march out. Again, distant. There will be opportunity for picture taking, but it as well has to be done in an order and in a process that will not jeopardize anyone else. And so that's at this point what it is going to look like. You will be fed on site, and you can Uber anything from anywhere. And so you don't have to worry about the day, you know, being there, but that's pretty much what it is going to look like. It will be in the early afternoon. I'm sure it won't be late. It won't be dark or anything like that, and it will probably be over by, well, we don't know the time frame because we don't know how long it's going to take for the flow of people to happen the way that it needs to happen. But we are going to insist upon it. There are absolutely no children allowed unless they're in the cars. Okay? There's no children allowed. They become a little bit more difficult to maintain and to corral. Plus, you can only have two people. And that's without exception. You can't get in without a ticket. The tickets obviously will be supplied to you. And we have in the past been able to give you some insight as to what your invitation will look like or should look like. However, this may take a little bit longer because it will be two invitations, one for those with tickets and one for those that would be coming in their vehicles. Okay? So are there any questions? No questions at all?
Thank you.
Everybody there? Okay.
And I said thank you, Overseer.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Again, the staff will be very minimum, and so most of the people will not be inside. Most of the people that usually do it won't be inside because we do want to keep the number of individuals down. As it relates to your garment, yes.
Just a quick question before you go through the garments. This is Elder And I'm just thinking, because this is going to be almost near the end of August, in the event that the guidelines are relaxed more, even if the guests are in the parking lot, is there any possibility that there could be chairs or something there and arranged in a way where people wouldn't have to be in their cars, or is that not a liability that you even want to deal with?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a liability we don't want to deal with. I would just say because we're not sure if it will be lax, and because that's going
okay.
to take a lot of pre-planning, you know, we would have to really start. This is June, will be in no time. And so whatever needs to be obtained, we would have to start doing it now.
Doing
that
now. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, right. And then we couldn't, then we wouldn't be able to. I think on some minimal amount, you know, and as the time, you know, goes, there's always going to be opportunity and a little leeway for us to do something, okay? I don't want to give suggestions or ideas because I don't know how that will work, and we would have to just follow through with the whole process of it for everybody. So there's possible
mm-hmm.
it's not a reception, but it will be, you know, like I say, they can get out, they can – we will have, what do you call that thing?
A backdrop?
You know, runway.
Runway?
No, what
yes.
do you call it?
The backdrop?
Help me, y'all. Yeah, but it's called a step and repeat.
The
I'm
step
sorry,
and repeat. Step and repeat.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, thank you.
Step and repeat.
You will have that set up outside. And so, it's still going to be a celebratory event. Get excited about
mm-hmm.
it. But what this is for this class of trailblazers, this is a first. You are a first, and God is perfecting it. And I know it's going to be even more powerful and beautiful than we can ever understand because of what he's going to bring you through, bring us through, what this is going to present, even in churchdom, you know, a new way of doing things, a more creative way. Using the incentives and the giftings that's in the church to bring about something that honors him so awesomely. And so I am humbled that he allows us to be a part of this part of his holy plan. And it is not by accident. He is fully aware of it. As it relates to your garments, I encourage you, buy your garments. I know that you cannot try them on. However, I've been looking on the website and on different things, and most of them share the fact that you could buy for women your dress size, and you can go one size up to make sure, you know, that it fits loose the way you would like it. But you always can give them your height and the length of your arms, okay? And I understand, you know, even if you would be able to go into a shop, you can't try it on. You know, there may be some shops that you can call and make an appointment, okay, and have purchased it and then try it on, but then if it doesn't fit, you still bought it anyway. So I know that this is kind of a shaky ground on this, but I do encourage you, if at all possible, make this sacrifice and this commitment and pray. And praying, God will tell you where to go and to buy what you need and the size that it needs to be, because he's in the dress making and suit making, and, you know, he does all of that because he says, I am concerned about everything that you are concerned about. And so he is, and he will perfect those things for us. And so we are trusting and believing in that. That is the prayer focus of the prayer group on your behalf, and just so that all of these details will just unfold to the glory of God. And so I don't know if there are any more questions on the line, concerns. We did share with individuals that are out of town, and so we got to go ahead with them, and I'm excited about that. And I'm just believing by faith this is going to be glorious for you guys, just glorious, well, for all of us. Because as we become witnesses of it, it's just amazing just how awesome God is. And we do stand in awe of him. Amen? But if you have any questions or concerns, feel free to call me. It is not a problem. Send us to, no, that's Pastor's number. What's my number? 630-701-4303. Call me if you have any questions or concerns or fears. And it's okay. It is okay. If you feel like, no, I don't think that's what I want to do, that's okay. You would have to continue the process to the end, but then you can walk next year if you like. Next year the class will be honored anyway. It's going to be honored anyway. And we're even considering that maybe by December it would be a kind of a grand event that you are being ushered out and the new class is being ushered in. And so we just got a lot of things out there. If you have any suggestions, thoughts, or comments or concerns, please share them with us, because that's how we grow. We grow from the input, you know, of new wine. You guys are new wine. And so if you have ideas or thoughts or insights, please, please, please don't hesitate to share them with us. Send us an email, send us a text, call us, you know, but share. So at that, I know we've taken up quite a bit of time, and I don't want to skimp on the time of the prophet or apostle, but I do want our presenters to do their presentation now. So I turn the floor over to Elder Deborah.
Thank you, Overseer. And thank you, Elder Sharita, because she did give us the specifics. So I won't read everything like I normally do because we are short on time. But the characteristic being discussed is our warfare, coming from 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. The candidate is Francine Love, and the accountability partner is Evangelist Cheryl Salisbury. So, Evangelist, it is on you.
Good evening, everyone. At this time, I would like to introduce to some and to others up-and-coming candidate evangelist to be Francina Love. Francina is a wife, a mother, and a school teacher. Upon meeting Francina for the first time, we connected right away. And I think it was because our teaching abilities and that we were so gradually drawn to each other, we get opportunity to talk. Maybe we should talk a little bit more than we should when we are on our calls, but I understand that she has a great zeal for and love for God, and I have been so inspired to be her candidate. I am so excited for her. I can't wait to see what God is going to do in her life, and at this time, we turn over everything to Francina Love, who is going to speak from 2 Corinthians 10:3-5.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Evangelist, for that beautiful introduction. Good evening, everybody. So where do I start? Let's start with the scriptures. I'm in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, and it reads, and I'm in the King James Version, it reads, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And so the scriptures in itself are very powerful in the fact that as I was looking at it, I had come to the realization that the warfare is working in my favor. And I went back and I dug around a bit to figure out why Paul had said this. And it was because the very people he was ministering to had begun doubting him and feeling like he was just, you know, boasting and saying these things on paper, you know, but in all actuality, they were considering him to be weak. And so looking at my own life, I've always been taught to kind of avoid the crowds and the fights and, you know, to just walk away from things. And so there comes a point in life, just like Paul, when you don't have a choice but to fight, because the fight will find you. And so going through this Christian walk, you know, I'm learning that there are some things that God is calling on us to fight for, because he's trying to bring out a better version of who we are. And so we can't fight this thing in the natural. You know, we are spiritual beings, and we serve a heavenly Father that comes along our side. And he's like, you know, you don't have to fight. You know, you don't have to put your Vaseline on or, you know, fight the way people do in the world.
Yes.
So I'm going to teach you how to fight. You know, and I'm thinking about David. He says, teach my hands to war. And if you're a fighter, you know, fighting comes naturally. But if you're that type of person that God has to kind of push to fight, or somebody has to push you, that's also the worst kind of fight to be in, because that kind of person comes out boldly. But God was saying to me, you know, yeah, the fight is real, the war is real, but the way that I'm going to show you how to win, I need you to bring yourself in, and I need you to listen to what it is that I'm going to say to you. So he took me over to Ephesians. You know, when we're on this war, we have to come correct. We got to be dressed the way God tells us. You know, in Ephesians 6, he tells us exactly what we wrestle against. And, you know, we wrestle against some things that we cannot see. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so I'm saying, okay, these things that I'm fighting, I can't really see, but I know that something is working against me. I know that something is trying to separate me from the love of God. And so he sent me over to Romans chapter 8, and he says, so what can separate me from the love of Christ? And Romans 8:35, it says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nakedness or parallel or sword. So there's some things that are coming specifically toward you and I that are trying to separate us from the love of God. And so he said, you know, you got to begin to speak to these things. And you got to begin to say, back in Romans 8:31, he said, what can I say to these things? So there are some things that God is teaching us that, you know, there's power in our mouth. There's power in everything that he has given us, praise and worship. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I was reading over Stephen, and they stoned him, and they put false witness against him, and they tried to tear him down, and he went down speaking the word of God. And the word of God was so powerful and so cutting that they were unable to bear it. So God has given us the power in his word. And so I'm learning, even in this process, that there is a blessing and a lesson that comes out of this battle. And for myself, I'm a pretty private person. And I was brought to the remembrance of when Jesus came and he got off the cross, and he was not afraid to show people his scars. And so sometimes we go through the battle and we get scars and we're wounded and we're hurt and we just don't want to get back up and fight. But I thank God, because now I'm learning, you know, show these scars, show people the evidence that God is saving and the evidence that you have survived. God, glory to God that you have survived the battles, the very things that have been meant to break you. The things that have meant to take you out.
Jesus.
And so through this process, I'm learning even more, you know, that the war is real. You know, we think about COVID-19 and we're going through as a people, as a nation, but those people who are armed and equipped with the word of God, he said, you know, you're feeling like you need to wait, you know, even to me, you know, he said, friend, you feel like you need to wait until you get yourself together, until the house, the husband, and the kids, and everything comes in line. And he's saying, you know, I just need you to be still. And he's whispering to me even now, that is not by might, that is not by power, but by his spirit. And it says, you know, I can hear this accountability process, my partner saying, are you ready? You know, she's checking in, have you done your homework? And there's some things and some situations that have come to distract me. And just when I thought that, you know, being at home and at work would be a great thing, then there's something more that brings cast out, and now my time and my attention and everything is divided. But glory to God. I begin to see the prophetic anointing that has been spoken throughout the class. You know, I begin to speak on the finisher's anointing that has been spoken of us. I begin to embrace the fact that I am an innovator. I begin to lift up praise and worship, and then begin to pray and be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And this is what God was saying to me. He said that you have got to put up your boxing glove and get your Bible out. And he said, whatever does not line up with the Word of God, you know, you got to tear that down. You got to apply the Word to it. You have to say, what does the Word say concerning my situation? And I've got to be able to rightfully divide the Word of truth. And it said that I must get in line with God. I must listen and hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, that I've got to use the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes that I prepare with peace. And I have to make sure that my loins are girt about with truth, and that the knowledge of the truth, the knowledge and wisdom of God, and that I cannot fight in the natural. And I lose because this is a spiritual war. It must be done in the Spirit and in truth. And I leave you with this, is that no matter the outcome from this war, God gets the glory, and I thank God that I am winning and I have already won. Thank you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Wonderful word.
Amazing.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Sound like a preacher.
Lord, that was amazing. Yes.
That was a now word. Just for right now, what's going on? Thank
amen.
You.
Amen. Amen.
Right to the wire, the enemy is trying to do warfare, but she never stopped, she never blinked, she never lost a breath. She continues to declare the works of the Lord. Praise God. Any inspirations, comments, questions for her? Amen.
I don't have any questions, but I have to say that was an amazing scriptural presentation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's evangelism.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Any more comments?
I was just going to say that was outstanding. It was very interesting because you started off and you seemed a little shaky in talking about how you weren't confrontational and that's not your normal thing. But as you surrender to the process, and what to me was really impressive is when you work that back into the mandate from prophet, and, you know, the words of faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And with each round, you know, where the scripture led you to the next scripture saying that nothing could separate you, to the next scripture saying, you know, the battle is not yours, the armor that he had given you. And even though in the natural where you're thinking, okay, this gives me an opportunity to do some things and extra time and then to experience the warfare, but to push forward, that even as you were saying it, which is why everybody's excited, because the word is alive, you know, and powerful.
Yeah.
And I heard somebody say it sounded like preacher. Yeah, that's what they mean when they say, I feel my help coming, you know, because you can just tell from hearing in your voice that you are becoming not only you encouraging yourself as well as us, you know, and the holy boldness in the presentation was awesome. So great job. Great job.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Anymore?
And I would like to say that the fight has been finished. Now you can just rest in the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus. Yes.
I like to also comment, this evangelist Shannon, I like to also comment, thank you for that word. You just reminded me that this is a spiritual warfare. It's nothing I can do, say, or wish away. I got to go down on my knees and I got to thank God in order to get the solution, because the enemy just came up against me on this very week. And that word just came and just encouraged me or who I go to and whose I belong to. Thank you for that, Master. Thank you, sister.
Hallelujah.
Y'all working already.
Yes, Lord.
Hello, this is our accountable partner. That was an awesome job. Very good. I'm so proud of you. Keep up the good work. Let God use you.
Amen. Amen. Continue to support her. That is awesome. Awesome. There is power. There is power. I'll just turn it over to Prophet. We can go on and on.
I cannot follow that. God bless you all. I would not try to follow that. I believe it was so very powerful. You will be prepared, amen, next week to answer and talk and do it. But phenomenal job, woman of God. Thank you for sharing your heart, and thank you for being open to the Spirit of God and allowing that fresh download to bless us. So thank you. Thank you. Yes.
Amen.
Keep innovating, keep trailblazing. And keep allowing God to give you all. You know, the power behind creativity, it's not just things, but it's also, it's a spirit. And so that's what we're feeling right now, how you create an atmosphere so that we can be blessed and be healed and be delivered. So thank you.
Amen. Amen. I know, Apostle, you have deferred to Prophet, but there's a few more minutes.
Amen. And like Prophet, we're just going to let that word back. We're just going to bask in that word. And I do, too, also want to encourage our sister because of the continuity of the message, the flowing of the message. It wasn't botchy. It wasn't fragmented. Each word compounded upon another word that compounded upon another word that compounded upon another word of God that brought forth power in the name of Jesus. So we do so. Thank you for allowing the mantle that rests upon your life that is shared with us now. And now we can just eat. The table has been set. Even when we get off this phone, God, we thank you, God, that we will continue to eat and bask in the presence of your word. In Jesus' name, we count it as so. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Is Brother Jamil on the line? I know he was having difficulty. Oh, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are so grateful for you sharing with us. We understand your heart, and we just love your spirit, and your grandma will be very proud of you. So at that, we will allow our brother Mel Milton to close us out in prayer.
Thank you. Thank you, O'Connor, for starting. Thank you, Overseer. Thank you, oh God, for waking us up this morning. Thank you, God, for giving us this day. And thank you, oh God, for giving us a breath. And thank you, oh God, every morning that we wake up, you sing over us and that you pray to us and that you pray over our lives and that you know our future and that you are leading us in the right path in our future. Thank you, oh God, for being there when nobody else was there. By people's side, and you was the only one who was by their side. Thank you, oh God. And I just want to say it again. Thank you, oh God, for waking people up this morning, giving them this day. And thank you for giving people another breath to breathe. And thank you, oh God, for letting us praise and worship your name. And thank you for dying on the cross. And thank you for dying for our sins. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Brother Jamil Michaels. He is a candidate for deacon, and he lost his grandma. And as you could tell, his grandma was a prayer warrior, and she passed it on to this young man. Are you 14, Jamil?
Yes.
He's 14 years old. He's 14 years old, but he stands tall for God. Stands tall for God, and he sings for the Lord. He's not ashamed to declare the goodness of God, and we're just so grateful and humble that we can be a part of his extended family to bear him up in this time of loss. So we thank you, and we have been dismissed, so we will talk again next week at the same time. So be blessed and be a blessing. Amen.
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 Hello.